We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
$29.99 due at signing. Tax, title, license, extra. Take advantage of this great offer and hurry to your local Ram dealer today. Call 1-877-RAM-5722 for details. Requires dealer contribution at least through Chrysler Capital. 25-cent charge for each mile over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 531. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
There have been some great and original ideas that have come out of our great city of Atlanta. Whether you think of soft drinks, home improvement, chicken sandwiches, or the first jewelry wholesaler in the Southeast, D. Geller & Son. D. Geller & Son stands alone as the leader in jewelry for not only the best value, but also for creating some of the most beautiful and original pieces of jewelry found anywhere. Visit us in Kennesaw, Sandy Springs, and Atlanta on Cobb Parkway. Read more about our history at dgeller.com.
Join 92.9 The Game this Friday at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw as the Dukes and Bell Show broadcasts live from 2 to 7. Stop by and enjoy craveable man food like delicious burgers and wings as the Twin Peaks girls serve you the coldest beer. Kick off your weekend with 92.9 The Game this Friday at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
The Game's National Signing Bonus. A chance to win a grand 12 times a day.
We're giving away over a quarter of $1 million.
We are WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1.
An Intercom Communications Station.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, we began the show. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Began the show this morning by saying you could pick your headline today because there are a lot of them, including the NBA draft lottery, which is tonight. And the Hawks will have those ping pong balls are rattling around. But before they get to the draft lottery, Hugh Douglas, the Hawks have a new head coach, and he is already starting to win over the town. A little charm offensive on the opening day for Lloyd Pierce. 42-year-old Lloyd Pierce has never been a head coach, and people are unsure about him. What they heard, they liked. So,
yeah, that's what you got. But that's what you have to do because people don't know you, John. So you have to, you know, basically, in essence, tell them what they want to hear. And then you got to go out and you got to do it. You know, it's almost like he's on the campaign trail right now. He's trying to get people to buy into what he's selling by saying words that people want to hear. Defense. Defense was the biggest one that he used yesterday, you know, and developing young players like Joel Embiid. And you see what the 76ers were able to do and where they were playing in the postseason. So that's what you want. And that's what people here want. But it's a process. And that's why, you know, when Joel Embiid coined the phrase trust the process, a lot of people see what happens when you do trust the process. And the thing that we have to do now is just be patient. Be a little patient and let him do what he needs to do to help build this thing.
Well, they had a big news conference at the Hawks training facility there in Brookhaven and Lloyd Pierce. We have three cuts from the new head coach of the Hawks so that you can get to know him a little better. 42-year-old Lloyd Pierce, 5-year assistant with Philadelphia 76ers, came up with the Golden State Warriors organization, worked as a player development guy with a lot of young talent. So what about his coaching philosophy?
Anytime you're trying to develop a culture, it's just, you know, what can you control? And it's your effort. We want to attack the day every single day from start to finish. We want to start building habits that we can create. And a lot of that is going to be on me and my staff. And as we're figuring that out, you know, the messaging to the players is going to be there. It's going to be our defensive DNA. It's going to be our impressions of how to be a competitive team while we're developing, while we're growing.
Yeah, and that certainly is going to be something that they you know, they draft towards. Remember, no matter what happens tonight in the lottery, the Hawks will have four of the top 33 picks, three first rounders and an early second rounder. So, you know, you do it right, you know, and Travis Link said yesterday to us, you know, look, you found John Collins at 19. We found Curry at, what, 7? I mean, Draymond Green in the second round?
It's all about getting the right guys. And I think Travis Link stressed that yesterday. You know, you got to find out what makes these young men tick. You know, what pushes their buttons. You just can't get guys that want to, you know, just get drafted or get paid. You got to get guys that are going to – you want to be – you want to get guys that are going to be staples in the NBA. You want to get guys that are trying to make their imprint in the NBA. Special guys.
Here's Coach Pierce. I guess we could start calling him Coach Pierce. He's been hired now. Coach Pierce talking about his opportunity with this club.
Leaving Philadelphia where they are now, it's a great opportunity for them. You know, they have an exciting future ahead. But for me, the position I'm in today is about that process. And, you know, I want to continue to grow as a first-time head coach. It's an opportunity for me to grow and develop, as I'm preaching to our players, for them to grow and develop.
One more from Coach Pierce. This was after the news. Somebody decided to say, look, hey, Coach, you're walking into a situation in Atlanta where you got a hot team in the soccer club. You got a Super Bowl-worthy team in the football team. You got a young club in baseball that is up and coming faster and ahead of schedule. What about your team and stepping into that environment?
I don't think it's pressure. I think, as we've talked about this, we're talking about building an organization to where it's a winning culture. And what that means is we have to do what we need to do to develop the current roster. We need to do what we need to do to develop the organization and finding the right people that share that vision.
Yeah, finding the right people. And that includes finding the right people who may not share that vision that are currently on the roster, as you talked about earlier.
Yeah, it might be some guys on this roster, John, that might not fit the mold of the developmental process. So that's something that you have to figure out. You know, that's going to take some time. You know, you can't, just like Coach Quinn did when he got here, you can't flip the roster in one season. Can't do it. It's impossible. You're going to go out there and you're not going to have enough people to play with. So it's going to take a little bit of time. But I think the one thing that you have to look at this year going into it for the Hawks is progress and see how well they're playing and fundamentals. Because it all starts with fundamentals, John. Let's be honest. When you're talking about rebuilding the culture,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like anything else in life. You strip it all the way down to the bare minimum and you build it back up. And that means that, you know, you do the small things right, fundamental things right. That's one of the reasons why the Braves are having the success that they're having this year, because they're doing the small things right. So that's what you have to do. And I think for this coach, Coach Pierce is going to start with defense and how they play well. They're going to probably, you know, on the defensive side, play that well and then build from there.
Well, the GM, Travis Schlenk, told us yesterday that they're down to 8 players that they're going to select in the opening pick of the NBA draft next month. And so now that what they're going to do is they're going to start diving into the 8 players on a personal level to find out what kind of guys they are. And that's where, you know, Coach Pierce will certainly have a say into all of these draft picks and what they do in terms of the kind of guys that he wants on this team to fit his philosophy. The lottery is tonight. The Hawks are going to hold a lottery party at Stats downtown on Marietta. That's the one that's right next to the College Football Hall of Fame. We're going to be part of there. We're going to have a street team there. We're going to be part of this. It'll be tonight beginning. The lottery is at 7:30 itself. That's when the lottery is. The Hawks currently sit at number 4 with in terms of chances for the ping pong balls. I hear they have a 13.7% chance of getting the number 1 overall pick and a 43% chance of getting a top 3 pick in the NBA draft. Be interesting to see where they end up. And I think that we had talked about it 1 through 7, I think, is the
worst. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. The worst they could be is 1 through 7. So hopefully they get number 1. They'll have the number 1 pick, and they can get whomever they want to get, the best player in the draft. And everybody would be happy.
Well, unlike the NFL draft where we had no idea who the number 1 pick is, pretty much settled by the NBA that the number 1 choice overall, whoever gets the number 1 pick, is taking DeAndre Ayton, the big 7'1" center out of Arizona. And so that's pretty much settled. And it seems settled in a lot of ways that Luka Doncic, the European shooter from Real Madrid, and Schlenk went over to Europe to see him play, is pegged in for a lot of people as the number 2 pick. In this draft, the Doncic is going to be a star. And I know a lot of people around here said, you know, we don't want to, you know, this unknown Euro guy. But, you know, if everybody is saying the same thing, and if you've seen the YouTube on him, guy's got some game. He can flat shoot it.
Yeah, but I think that would be a good pick. But I think it would be a tough sell here in Atlanta. So remember, who was the other guy that they got? The guy from New York. Can't think of his name right now.
Kristaps
Porzingis, yes. And how it took them a while to warm up to him. It took him a while. And I think it would just be, you know, the first year out, it would be kind of tough. But, I mean, if the guy can play, the guy can play. And if you're in position to get him, you got to get the best player available.
The Hawks, again, the draft party, the Hawks will throw a draft party at Stats tonight, begins at 7:30, and then they're going to follow that by watching the game. And a good kind of an interesting tweet by Carl Dukes yesterday, because I think he went through and he dug through the Atlanta Hawks draft lottery history and kind of noted that The Hawks have only hit on a couple of picks in the lottery when they've had them. The last time they had a lottery pick was Al Horford, and that was 2007. But it's been a while. I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So, yeah, they got to get this one right, man. You know, you're talking about building something and the process. You got to get something. You got to get this right.
Again, a lot of headlines this morning. Draft lottery tonight. Lloyd Pearson is the Hawks head coach. We mentioned it, and here the Braves are. The Braves get the Cubs in. Here come the Chicago Cubs, and all those Cub fanatics are going to be lining the seats of SunTrust Park for the next three nights. But they're going to be met by a bunch of Braves fanatics who are seeing a red-hot Braves team. Yesterday, the Cubs and Braves had to play a makeup game back in mid-April. They had a game that was rained out up there in Chicago. And so they took advantage of an off day of both teams to play a makeup game. Boy, did that makeup game go well for the Atlanta Braves from the very first batter of the game.
Winds out of the southwest at 6 on a 75-degree day. High fly ball ripped to deep right field, at the track, at the wall. Ozzie's done it again. A leadoff homer here in the first inning in Chicago.
Yeah, second pitch of the game. It's Chip Carey on Fox Sports South. How about Ozzie Albies with yet another leadoff home run, his 13th home run of the season. He's been unbelievable, and he just shows no signs of slowing down.
Yeah, that's the truth right there, man. You're talking about a phenomenal young player that every time that he's up to bat, it's a must-see when this young man is up to bat. Tied for the lead in home runs with Bryce Harper right now, 13. So,
right.
Yeah, he has to be in consideration. I know it's early, but he has to be in consideration for All-Star right now. He has to be. Has to be a lead vote getter.
Well, the Braves and the Cubs went back and forth. They were slugging each other out here, and then they were – 5 home runs in the game, and the 5th home run turned out to be the decisive home run, and it came in the 5th inning, courtesy of Joey Batts.
Swing and a high fly ball toward left. Schwarber back into the well. He turns. It's over his head. It's gone. 3-run homer, Batista.
Jose Batista's 2nd home run as an Atlanta Brave turns out to be the game-winning home run, but boy, it got dicey in the bottom of the 9th inning. A.J. Minter came in with a 6-4 lead, managed to load the bases. Then on an 0-2 count with 2 outs, he hit Ian Happ to force it a run, and then had to face, with the bases loaded and only up a run now, Chris Bryant.
Fly ball to left. Acuna's there. The Braves have won it.
Mercy.
What a game. If you want to get a taste of October baseball, you got a little sampling at Wrigley Field today. And Atlanta, a month later, wins the series over the Cubs. They cap off a 6-1 road trip. They're 10 games over 500. And what a thrilling finish at Wrigley Field. 6-5 partner, your final.
Yeah, way too thrilling.
That thing got intense towards the end. But that's kind of what you want, though, John. Because you got to be real. Last year, Braves in that situation, I mean, are you confident that they win that game? Are you confident that they hold off the Cubs? No.
Nope.
I like it. I like it. I like the way they're playing. I like the way they're playing right now.
And Brian Snicker said, okay, all right, at least we escaped with a win.
Yeah, we took it right to the end, that's for sure. And that was a good C-man. Just kept pitching. You know, I like when he hit the guy, I was like, oh, no. But, you know, they all did. Julio, great job. Bullpen did a great job picking him up. You know, and I honestly didn't think that the scoring was going to, so I thought it was going to be like a 13-12 game the way it started out. But just good win.
That was a very good win. Now the Braves and Cubs for 3. But how about Jose Batista, huh? How about this guy? You know, all the young guys, and the Braves have 4 of the 5 youngest players in Major League Baseball, right? They have Acuna, they have Albies, they have Soroka, the 3 youngest, and then they have the 5th youngest in Gajara. And so for all these, and they call them baby Braves, which whatever, but Jose Batista, age 37, hits that 3-run bomb and is finding a home, a new home in Atlanta.
I got a good pitch to hit, and it was early in that batter, and I was swinging hard. So, and I was trying to obviously do something positive for the team there, and I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah.
He's playing well. I mean, he's been a tremendous help to the Braves, but I got to be honest. Every time I think about Jose Batista, I think about him getting punched in the jaw. And I just do. Because it hasn't been that long ago, him getting punched in the jaw. That's my memory of him getting punched in the jaw.
And I think that was, when was that, Bo? 2 years ago?
Exactly 2 years ago today. Exactly 2 years. It was May 15th, 2016. I watched the video this morning thanks to ESPN.
No, wait a minute, but it's like, I just remember, like all that bravado he had until he got hit in the jaw. And then it was, you know, it was the, he, but he, yeah, like, he said he took a punch, though. He took that punch. He took that punch, but you know, you should have known it was coming. Like, come on, man. You should have known it was coming. Dude was charging the mic. He was coming to get you. Come on, man.
Hey, don't get hit in the wallet. Make yourself $1,000 today.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
lemon. If your car is a lemon, $1,000 will lemon. Be.
Not because I ain't living. Something living lemon. The song Lemon. Bouncing around.
You have dial 859 to text the word lemon, L-E-M-O-N, to 72881. That is lemon to 72881. 72881, text lemon, do not text and drive. And message data rates may apply. Lemon to 72881. Hopefully you win $1,000 in the national signing bonus. All right, last night, NBA, game one of the Western Conference Finals, and Kevin Durant said, mine.
Curry fades the left corner. Durant with a dribble. Crossover top of the key. Crossover again. Takes a jumper off the dribble. It's good over Capella. And KD's got it going. He's got 26.
Yeah, he ended up with 37. And Kevin Durant played all 48.
If it were up to you, would you play the entire game?
Probably so. But I wanted to stay in the game at that point. But I trust Coach, man. It's all good. I mean, the best part about it is that we can have those conversations and then we can move past them pretty quick. So glad we got the W though.
He wasn't trusting Coach for a minute though. He was crying. He was when Coach pulled him. He's like, "Yo, what you doing?" He was out there. Listen, KD was killing everybody. He was giving everybody the business. They were trying to switch up guys to guard him. He was like, "I don't care." He was pulling up on everybody and was making them. He was hard to contest with last night. You know what the bad part about that game is that when I looked on my Twitter feed, because I follow like a lot of people from Texas. And they were in the building, and that place was loud, and it was raucous. And the Rockets came out to play. They came to play. And you took their heart. You took their heart on their court right. Like that. That's a tough one. That's going to be a tough one to bounce back from.
Yeah, Golden State wins the game by 13 points, 119-106 in Houston. And James Harden put up 41. And Golden State still beat him by 13. But we put out 41. Tonight, game two, by the way, at the Cavs and Celtics with Boston with an early 1-0 lead. Coming up in a moment. Did you bet on the game last night? Probably not. Could you bet on the game in the not-too-distant future? Probably so. This Supreme Court ruling is going to change gambling in America.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win.
The game's national signing bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hume. To give you even odds that we're going to talk about sports gambling right now, and if you just took that bet, you just won. Because let's talk about what happened yesterday with the Supreme Court, because this is a huge story that's going to, I mean, you can't undersell how big a story this is in the potential ramifications of what the Supreme Court has ruled. Now, somebody said out there, well, you know, the Supreme Court just legalized sports gambling. Now, that's not true. Sports gambling was already legal in this country. It was only legal, though, in one state. What the Supreme Court said, and it's clarity is important here, is the Supreme Court said that the federal law that allowed Nevada to have sports gambling and nobody else, that was unconstitutional. It goes out the window, and now every state can determine for itself whether or not it wants to have sports gambling in its state. You know, and we're talking about gambling on individual games. Other states have had what they call parlay in the past, but now you can have, just as you have a sports book at the Mandalay Bay, man, the best sports books in Vegas, probably Mandalay Bay, Caesar's Palace. I mean, those are still the old classics, and they're still the great ones. I love Mandalay Bays. And I love Caesar's Palace, too. But now you can have sports books that, you know, if you wanted to go up to Harris Cherokee, they could have a sports book if North Carolina says, we want sports gambling.
Yeah, I think it's important that people know, like, I remember they had parlay betting in Delaware. So it's up to each individual state whether or not they want to have sports betting. And from what I understand is that there's only a few states that are truly close to being allowed to get sports betting, like within the next couple of months. As a matter of fact, they were talking about how you could potentially get it right before the season starts, and that would be Delaware, I think Connecticut and New York.
Mississippi.
And Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania was another state. So, yeah, there's a few states that are in position right now that if they want to do this, that they'll be able to do that. So it's not going to be – it's going to probably be a little bit of time before everybody else falls in lockstep. But you're talking about a potential windfall for a lot of different states. And it's going to be something that, you know, congressmen and people like that, they're going to look at to see whether or not they can figure out a way to get their hands on some of that money.
Yeah,
money.
And states that already have a casino infrastructure, like, for example, Biloxi. You know, it would be nothing for Mississippi to say, okay – we, the state legislature in Jackson, say that sports gambling is now legal in Mississippi, and for those, you know, for the Beau Rivage and all those casinos down there in the in Biloxi to be able to just open up. They all have sports bars, so it wouldn't be anything to put up the, you know, it wouldn't take them a couple of weeks to put up the numbers. It wouldn't be hard. So, you know, it would be easy for them to just convert that. Now, how does that affect Georgia? How does it affect, you know, us? I don't know. This will be an interesting fight in the state legislature downtown about whether or not Georgia will be allowed to have sports gambling here. I don't know that it will. I'm not sure that it will.
Man, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to be made with sports betting, John. And you know, there was some talk about putting a casino down nearby of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and along with the hotels and everything. So that's something that I think that it would be in consideration. I think Georgia's changed a little bit. They just passed a law a couple months ago or a month ago about the use of marijuana as far as for medicinal purposes. So anything is possible.
We are asking you, by the way, on our Twitter at 929 The Game, on our Facebook as well, you know, how you feel about the Supreme Court's ruling on sports betting. You can vote on our Twitter. Big win, about time. Loss, problems ahead, or push doesn't affect me. Right now, big win's getting half the votes. Push doesn't affect me, getting 42%. And 8% saying it's a big loss because there are problems ahead. Understand where we, and it's important to walk you through this story if you don't quite understand. Now, the states all have the right, according to the Supreme Court, effective immediately, to be able to determine for themselves whether or not they're going to have sports gambling. What's happened here is that where in the past you had gambling, you know, and we're not talking about horse tracks, that's pari-mutuel. We're talking about gambling. Whereas, you know, gambling itself was restricted to Nevada and then later to New Jersey and then to Native American Indian, you know, pieces of land or things like rivers, you know, that you could put a boat on. This really opens the door for casino gambling as well, because the Supreme Court has said to the states, look, gambling is a state's right issue. If you want to have sports gambling, you can. And by extension, what they said to you is if you want to have casino gambling, you can. You don't have to have all these rules. You can just do whatever you want. It's your business.
It's up to you. It's going to be up to the individual state. But my question is this. Like, you're talking about states like, say, Indiana, Indianapolis, and places like that where they have, like, the riverboat gambling. Like,
right.
So that means that you could take it from offshore. I mean, you could take it off the water and put it, like, on shore. Now, you could do that, right?
Right.
That's what this means. So, yeah, that's going to be – like, you're talking about some of the states that are making money by having, like, the slot machines and stuff like that they could actually have, like, you know, crap tables and stuff. That's a lot of money you could potentially make. That is a lot of money that you could potentially make. So a lot of people are going to really look into that. But the guys that are going to suffer the most are going to be, especially in the states that are already in position to have gambling, are going to be the bookies. And now, you know, guys aren't going to be in position to get their legs broke anymore, so that's probably a good thing as well. So, John, that all that aspiration, dreams, yeah, and aspirations you had about being a bookie,
yeah.
And you might get paid back now. since there's, you know, you might be able to get your money back now.
Yeah, right.
Since there's no, you know, there's no need to be breaking legs or anything anymore. You can be like a legit businessman.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, bookie as a job profession is right up there with a Blockbuster clerk. I mean, yeah, it's not going to have a long shelf life.
But then again, you got to think some bookies in states that that they're probably not going to pass this law.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be making a killing.
Yeah, there's so many states that have casinos now. I mean, Georgia's among the few that doesn't, it seems. I mean, I know that Tennessee doesn't as well, but Alabama does. I mean, look around you. South Carolina does. North Carolina certainly does. And Florida's got casinos. And out west, almost outside of Texas, almost every state seems to have casinos out there. Denver's got them. Colorado's got them. New Mexico, Arizona, I mean, Nevada. California's got the second most casinos to Nevada in the entire country. There are lots of casinos in California. So, I mean, again, it's the spread of casino gambling. Whether you think casino gambling is a bad thing for society or not, Here we go with sports gambling. And so how the leagues handle this is the other big thing. The NFL and the NBA both come out and said basically the same thing. And rather than read you their statement, I'll just sort of give you a little summary here. The leagues have come out and said, look, because understand that the leagues can do nothing about this, right? There's nothing they could do about it. Besides, they can't be hypocrites anyway, because the NHL is in Las Vegas. The NFL is about to go into Las Vegas. The NFL plays games in England where sports gambling is legal, so they're not about to be hypocrites.
But they just want to be, they want to look like they're trying to be responsible, so they're trying to legislate it. You know what the thing that we're talking about, like, you know, it's funny. We're talking about, so we're so focused on the professional sports. What does this mean for college sports? I mean, seriously, I mean, what does it mean for people that are going to bet on college sports and how it's going to affect that?
Well, the only experience I have with that is Nevada. I mean, it doesn't seem that it's an issue there. Of course, the only two teams in the state that you would bet on would be
UNLV?
UNLV and Nevada. So it doesn't seem like it's been a big issue.
Yeah, but I think that's it. Since now we're going to be able to bet, if in most states you're going to be able to legally bet, I think that there's going to be some kind of effect for college sports as well, especially college football.
Well, what's interesting about what the leagues have responded, yes, the leagues are saying we want federal oversight of what is now, the Supreme Court said, a states' rights issue. They want to go to Congress and have Congress pass a new law that says that Congress gets to regulate sports gambling on a federal level. In other words, the law for sports gambling is going to be the same in every state. In other words, you're not going to be able to come up. You can legalize sports gambling, but you can't just, you know, go willy-nilly and make up your own rules. And that's what the leagues want, because they want some control over this and some oversight on this. Whether they get that, I don't know. But there's another really interesting part of this. The leagues have also indicated to you that they might want a cut. They might want a cut. They call it integrity services. The NBA's vice president went to the New York State Legislature and said they want a 1% cut off the top for integrity services. The league wants a part of the proceeds.
That is crazy. Now, to me, that is the crazy part about it. But if you look at what the league has done, inadvertently always doing, and is always doing when they send out the injury report, is they're kind of helping the gambling line as you go into the season. They really are, because you see that teams get in trouble when they don't report certain injuries and everything, and bookies used to use that or still use that in order to set the betting line for Vegas on the mm-hmm, weekend. So
right.
That's something that, you know, the NFL is going to try to figure out a way to get that cut, but they're going to try to keep that integral role intact as well. So this is going to be very interesting to see how all of this shakes out when it's all said and done.
It will be interesting. I think this is going to be really interesting. Just kind of playing this out in my mind. What's going to happen here in Georgia? Let's start with that. There, I guarantee a couple things are going to happen. You're going to soon hear, you know, a lot of talk and chatter from our state representatives and from the governor's office is going to be talk about what do we do with sports gambling in the state of Georgia? How do we handle that? And those people that are proponents of casino gambling in Georgia, especially those people who have in the past come out and said that one company wanted to put a big casino, I want to say up by Chateau Alain, and another one downtown, as Hugh talked about, with like a 1,000-room hotel and a big casino, or like across from or adjacent to the Georgia World Congress Center that would be part of all that complex down there, they're going to rear their head again and start saying, hey, listen, what about putting a big casino in there so we can have this as a tourist attraction? We'll see how that flies. And so we'll have that discussion in the state. And if the state does not move on sports gambling, let's say the state didn't do anything, Hugh. The other thing that would be interesting is, would Tennessee move to do it in order to get, you know, the potential of having sports books on the border at the East Ridge exit and Chattanooga get all that revenue, because people would drive right up the road to Chattanooga to get it.
I tell you what, that's the most important thing, John, you got to think about is how is it going to affect your revenue stream in your state. So that's something that a lot of lawmakers and legislators are going to have to try to figure out real soon, because this is happening. This is here.
It's not just happening. It is here. He's right. And that's what we have to deal with. Oh, it's here. Oh, yeah, it's real. Oh, yeah, it's real. Sports gambling legal nationwide. Just depends on what your state says. All right, we venture into that area known as Hughes World.
Yeah, so I want to talk about, you know, I don't got that much love for quarterbacks, but this one quarterback did something a few days ago that I got to kind of give him props for. I'll tell you more about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay.
Let's do it.
We're giving away a quarter of $1 million.
It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bruh.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Now, you know, back in the day, my job was to, like, hunt quarterbacks. And you know, I did a pretty good job of that. And I had a really healthy disdain for quarterbacks. I mean, I hated these cats. I hated them for a number of reasons. I hated them because they always dated, like, the number one cheerleader. And they always got all kinds of accolades. And no matter what happened, they were always the guys that got the praise or always got the guys that got the blame, whatever the situation was. But I got to give a shout out to my man Blake Bortles, because he did something that I thought was pretty cool and that you never really hear about quarterbacks doing. A couple days ago, Blake Bortles helped a would-be thief. He helped hold down a would-be thief until the police came. Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles intercepted a would-be thief and helped police arrest a teenager while at a Jacksonville beach house party held at the home of a teammate, Brandon Linder, on Wednesday night. According to Jacksonville Beach Police, 18-year-old Joseph Horton rummaged through several of the vehicles at the party, including Bortles' F-150, which was unlocked with the keys inside. Surveillance video shows Horton taking Bortles' wallet from the truck, and it was later found outside. Witnesses, per police told, said that Horton tried to drive away in the truck but couldn't get it out of the crowded lot, so instead he entered the home. Police then were called and found Horton being held down by Bortles and two of his friends. Horton was arrested and charged with burglary, trespassing, and grand theft. Online record show.
Well, now, wait a second. I got a couple questions here.
Yeah, I do too. But I'll let you ask your questions because when I was reading the story, I thought the same thing that you're probably thinking. So shoot.
Wait, you tried to steal a car. Then you walk into the house?
Yes. Dude, no, but check this out. This is the thing that got me. Who leaves? I understand, like, we live in a day and age where back in the day you could, like, leave your house unlocked. Uh-huh. But who leaves their car keys in their truck?
In the ignition.
And then not only did this young man try to steal the truck, he then later proceeded to go into the house and started to, like, rummage through the stuff, like the people's stuff, trying to take their stuff. Oh, either this thief was real, real bold, or he was real, real stupid, or he was stoned. Real, real high. Yeah, something was wrong with this young man.
Wait, did they actually, at the beginning of their, did they use the word intercepted? Did they say
Blake? Yes, they did. This was the story. I read the story.
Blake Bortles intercepted.
Yeah. They intercepted a would-be thief and helped police arrest. And the fact that the quarterback actually held him down. Because if you know as much, like some things I know about quarterbacks, they're not about that life, especially in a situation where, you know, the harm could be potentially done to them. They're the ones that always wear the different colored jerseys, and coach always tells you not to touch them in certain situations. So I got to give Blake Bortles props for this, for actually getting his hands dirty and trying to, you know, well, and holding the guy down until the police came. But the problem that I have with the story, John, is why the hell you leave your car keys in your truck? Who does that? I mean, I know you make a lot of money. You know, you're the starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, but your pocket's that deep where you could just leave your car keys in your F-150?
I guess.
Just like that and not even worry about it? That is kind of ridiculous. And on top of that, leave your wallet in your car. You know, the one thing that I do when I go to the gym, I make a decision. It's like your wallet or your phone. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to leave one in the car, it's either your wallet or your phone. 10 times out of 10, I'm going to leave my phone in the car and I'm going to take my wallet. Because if I lose my phone, I can get another phone. If I lose my wallet with all the stuff that I have in it, it could take you a little bit of time to get all that stuff back. I can go buy another phone or have insurance on my phone and go, you know, get that. But yeah, I gotta give my man a shout out for that. That was pretty cool. But and another thing, who are these people that they allow this random person to come in the house and just start rummaging through your stuff and like taking your stuff? That was kind of a bold move on the thieves' part as well.
Well, there's a guy who does a Twitter called Blake Bortles Facts, and it has like 100,000 followers, and it's actually a very clever website, Blake Bortles Facts. So I had to go to it and check to see what he said about this particular incident.
What did he say?
He said this. Blake Bortles Facts says, fact, Blake Bortles has prevented more truck thefts, one, than the Bengals have playoff wins since 1991, zero.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That is, you know, I mean, you go ahead and just throw a little shade towards the Cincinnati Bengals. Haven't had a playoff win since 1991. I did not know that. I just learned it. it's been that long for the Cincinnati Bengals to have a playoff win.
Yeah, so shout out to Blake Bortles.
What's he doing? I mean, Blake Bortles is out there. You're right. I mean, what are you doing leaving your keys in your wallet? I mean, I guess, is it a gated thing?
I don't know, John. But you're super but to leave your keys in your truck, I mean, that's not a smart thing to do. And then the dude tried to take the truck. Dude tried to actually take the truck and drive away in the truck. So that was, I don't know what the young cat was thinking as far as that story. And I got another story. I was reading a story this morning. Uh-huh. And you can look it up. It was a lady in California. She worked at the Chipotle.
Okay.
She got caught stealing like $600 from the Chipotle. So she got fired. She got fired from her job.
Well, yeah, you steal $600, you're going to get fired.
So when she went to her employees and they said that she got fired, she asked them to see the video. They said they had video surveillance of her stealing the money.
Right.
She asked to see the surveillance. They did not have the surveillance video, John. She turns around and she sues Chipotle and she wins and gets a settlement for like $8 million.
Because they didn't have the video?
They did not have the video of this woman stealing the money.
All right, so they accused her of stealing the money, and she said, you can't prove that I actually did
it.
No,
she didn't say you couldn't prove it. She asked them to see the video of her stealing the money. And Chipotle did not have the video of her stealing the money. They said they erased the video. So she then got a lawyer and then took them to court, and she won, and she got a settlement for $8
million. $8
million? $8 million. And now Chipotle said that they did not approve it. They said they were disappointed in the settlement. And that they were going to appeal it, but...
For sure.
But the next time, this is a rule of thumb for anybody who accuses anybody of stealing something. Make sure you have evidence, because this woman just got paid. She got the $600, and she got $8 million on top of that. So she got a nice little payday.
Man, $8
million? $8 million.
That seems like a lot, but still. I mean, and we don't know if she actually stole the money or not.
It says alleged. So, you know, she got, I don't know, it said alleged. In this story, it read alleged. So, yeah, I don't know for sure. They don't have the video. Didn't see the video. Don't know. Don't see this.
Yeah,
I saw
one of my waitresses one time when I was making pizzas back in the day, and she took 20 out of the till and stuck it in her pocket, and manager caught her, and she was fired on the spot.
But is this the same pizza parlor where
this was a different pizza parlor. Oh, okay. And I didn't steal any money from the pizza parlor, the first one. The $300 I did not steal. That was somebody else who stole it. They just put me under it's the only time I did a lie detector test.
Gotcha.
Now, I got fired for putting too much Canadian bacon on a pizza. I didn't weigh it. It's the only time I've ever been fired.
Canadian bacon. They make some good bacon in Canada.
They do make good bacon in Canada. You can go to our 99 The Game Twitter at 99 The Game and vote on our poll. It's actually talking about what we were just talking about the big story about sports gambling. We're asking you how you feel about the Supreme Court's ruling on sports betting when you vote. Also, weigh in, and we're talking to you. Dukes of Bell going to be at Twin Peaks, 2-7. Coming up this week as they get ready for the big weekend ahead. That's Twin Peaks with Dukes and Bell. Coming up top of the hour, we continue on again. Headlines galore today. Falcons making some little bit of news, too. We have that as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.